You're listening to a message from Southland Church. To learn more about Southland, including our service times and upcoming events, listen to us online at mysouthland.com. Today's message comes from Pastor Martin Gunter.
Good morning. Well, it's good to be here again this morning, and 2024 is wrapping up and we're basically done. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Martin Gunter, and I'm a care pastor here at Southland. I want to just welcome everybody online who's joining us as well. But I also want to extend a special welcome to all my nieces. My five nieces came from Brandon, and I just want to wave at them and say thanks for joining us, guys. You guys can wave at them too back there. So they come all the way from Brandon to celebrate Christmas here. And this morning, I know there was a lot of announcements already given to you, but I would just like to add one more. And this is not to bombard you guys with lots of things and making you busy for 2025, but this is one that's kind of dear to my heart. I'll say this and I'll give a statement out there. I'm a little bit of a retreat junkie, which means if an Inset Free comes up or an Empower comes up, I love going to those. And when I first started up here at church, I think I went to almost all of them because I have big issues and lots of things to deal with. So we have another one coming up. The Empower is coming up on January 31st. And we always have an Empower after the prayer and fasting month. And it's a good way for us to come together again. You might ask, what is an Empower? So after we do our Set Free, it's a follow-up retreat to the Set Free. And at the Set Free, we confess our sins and we kind of do a cleanup. At the Empower, what we do is we take a look at what the Bible says about the Holy Spirit and His gifts. And then we take a place where we practice those and we teach those together. And I want to tell you a quick story about this, and that's why I want to talk about it too a little bit. Just because you've gone to one doesn't mean I'm good now, I don't have to go ever again. There's always something that God works on it, and if you've never gone before and you've been to a Set Free, I would highly encourage you to sign up for it. But this is right after COVID. Me and Pastor Chris Carr, we lead them together, and it's lots of fun to lead with him. But this is our first Empower where me and Chris Carr was going to lead together. And Pastor Stefan was there, and it was the three of us leading the sessions. We kind of divided them up, and he was going to teach us and show us and kind of hand it off to the two of us. So we're there, and Pastor Chris was up, and he's doing the prophetic session, and he was nailing it, doing a good job. And we're sitting there, and then Stefan says, hey, Matt, Martin, come sit close by. Let's partake. Let's practice how to do the prophetic gift. And essentially what we do is we do listening prayer, we get a word for a picture for one another, we share it, and then afterwards we share what our prayer request was. So it's lots of fun, we do it together. But in this moment, right before Stefan asked that, I had this feeling of anxiety inside of me, which is normal before you go up to speak, but this time it just got worse and worse and worse to the point where I felt like I do not want to be here. I want to simply run away and not be at this retreat anymore. For a retreat junkie, that is a problem. That is something that is unfamiliar to me. I don't know this feeling, recognize this feeling. So we're sitting there, and I'm just feeling anxious and feeling jerky and feeling I need to get out. And again, I've been to many of them. And I'm like, what is this feeling? So thankfully, they decided to do prophetic on me first. So we sat down in a little triad there that we made up real quick. And we prayed and stuff. And then I'll give you a quick background before I tell you what they shared with me. One of my favorite movie series is Lord of the Rings. Yeah. Okay, I love Lord of the Rings, I love a book series. But in Lord of the Rings, I will say this, my favorite character is not one of the big ones. It's not Aragorn or Gandalf or Gimli or any of those. My favorite character is actually one of the secondary characters called Samwise. And Samwise is an awesome character, and I've always just kind of associated with him, I like him, and every time the movie, the book, something happens, I can't wait for Samwise parts to come up. So just so you guys know that. So anyway, we're doing prophetic, we're sitting there, I'm anxious, back to the Empower, and then Stefan looks at me and he says, I want to share something with you, but it's a bit weird and strange. Coming from a normal person, that's okay, but coming from Stefan, you kind of brace yourself because he lives in strange and weird all the time. So I kind of brace myself. I'm like, oh, I'm already anxious. This is just going to help me some more. And he looks at me and he says, I don't want to come this to you as being demeaning or anything, but I get a picture of you at church, but kind of dressed as a Lord of the Rings character. And I kind of perk up and stuff. And he says, I see you as Samwise. I don't see you as a leading character. I don't see you as Aragorn or any of those, but I see you as the hobbit who just picked up the ring when it needed to be picked up. It's not your responsibility like Frodo to carry the ring all the time. God is asking you to pick it up sometimes and to carry it for when it needs to be carried. And when he said that, I completely broke down. I wept, my anxiety went away, they prayed for me, and I shared afterwards with them what God all did there. And I just want to encourage you guys with a story. I've been to many retreats, but every time I go, it's like God fixes something else inside of me, reveals something else about my nature that's not okay, and he shows that to me. So anyway, if you guys want to come to an awesome retreat, I encourage you to come join us January 31st. Me and Chris Carr will be there, and we will have a good time together. But today's message, we're going to talk about legacy. I've been praying about it for a little bit, and God placed this word on my heart. And I figured, you know what, why not? It's the end of the year, beginning of a new year. Legacy fits well. And as I'm praying through it, I couldn't think of a single verse that contains the word legacy. And the more I'm sitting there, I'm a pastor, I should know these things, right? And I couldn't think of one, so I do what every good pastor does. Go to Google, go to BibleGateway.com. I type in legacy. How many verses do you think came up with the word legacy inside of it? Nothing. Zero. And as I saw that, I'm like, oh, there's no verses about legacy. So on second thought, legacy is a silly topic, and I should not talk about it, and I'll get somebody else to preach about it, because why should I talk about it? There's nothing in Scripture containing the word legacy. And of course, this is one thing where we know when a word is not contained in there, it doesn't mean that it's something we can't talk about. But I want to share about legacy for you, partly because of my job change here. I went from adult pastor to becoming the care pastor here. And so part of my job is I get to do funerals, and it's such a privilege to be able to walk with many of you who've lost loved ones and going through this difficult time to be there at the funerals and to meet with family and such. And especially this last part of the year, we had quite a few funerals come up. And as the funerals kind of came up, went to quite a few of them, and one thing that stands out at a funeral, do you know what it is? Legacy. We see what that person lived with. We see what they lived by, what was valuable to them. What are they leaving behind here on earth? And it's something that kind of hits you all the time when you see it. But you know what, though? Scripture also talks about funerals. We see this in Ecclesiastes 7. It says, it is better to go to a house of mourning than go to a house of feasting. For death is the destiny of everyone. The living should take this to heart. So we're all recovering from Christmas gatherings, right? We had lots of good gatherings. It was a great time. And family gatherings is not a bad thing. It's a good thing. I have gone to many of them. I will go to them again. But what Scripture is talking about here, it's better to go to a house of mourning than a house of feasting. Why? Because it reminds us that all of us will come to an end one day. You know, I did a quick Google search while I was at it. The last 2,000 years or so, the mortality rate's been sitting steady at 100%. It hasn't really wavered at all, okay? So I think it's safe to say it's going to continue that trend until Jesus comes back, right? So we should take to heart that actually our end will come one day. You know, in Psalm 90, verse 12 says this too. It says, teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. And so we should not be fooled and think that we can just live forever. But the wise take note of the days we have left and how we should live here on earth. So again, this gives an opportunity to leave a legacy here on earth for the Lord. So, but why is legacy important? And why do we want to talk about it this morning? Well, first off, like I said, you can't find the word legacy specifically in Scripture, but you do find words like inheritance or heritage. And the word inheritance is 220 times we find it all across Scripture. But again, somebody had this quote, and if somebody knows who said this, please come tell me, because I couldn't find it. But I heard this quote one time. It said, the Bible doesn't contain verses, it contains books. And sometimes we get hung up on a verse, you know, and if it doesn't say it, the Bible doesn't talk about it. But canonically, we can see Scripture actually talks a lot about legacy or the inheritance that we leave behind. But if you go and you're looking to find legacy, it's defined as this. It's either money or property left behind for somebody's will, or what it can also mean is it's a long-lasting impact of particular events, actions that took place in the past or in a person's life. And it's that latter part that I want to talk about today is, what is the impact that we leave behind here? What is the impact we leave as Christians on this world? And one day at our funeral, what will they say about us? Will they talk about the things we did here for the Lord, or they talk about things we did for ourselves? Or actually, would it be kind of an awkward silence, but nobody knows what to say about that person? So the legacy we leave here is very important. But Billy Graham, I think, has the best quote on legacy. He said this. He says, "The greatest legacy one can pass on to one's children and grandchildren is not money or material things accumulated in one's life, but rather a legacy of character and faith." How we love God, how we love people, is the legacy that matters. How we overcome our flesh and live by the Spirit is the legacy that matters. And yeah, not everybody's going to see the battles we face day to day in our hearts, but the Lord does see that. But again, I think one of the greatest legacies ever is people who has turned from their sinful ways and now live a godly life, and seeing that legacy left behind here. 2 Corinthians 5 says this, "So we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ and we plead, come back to God." I love that plea of come back to God. And I think every Christian here, everybody who follows the Lord, we should have this cry in our heart that say, come back to God. And again, that's one of those things too, at our funerals, is that something that people will hear from our testimonies when they go up to do a tribute or a eulogy, that is part of what we've lived for here on earth. And I think, again, as Christians, we get to leave behind a legacy, not of us, but of our Savior. So enough of that. I'm going to give you guys three reasons, again, why I think legacy is important. And number one, I think it's a clear one, it's for the glory of God. That is the main reason we exist here. 1 Corinthians 6 says, "For you were bought with a price, so glorify God in your body." And in verse 10, chapter 10, it says, "So whenever you eat or drink, whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God." So everything we do for the glory of God. Every action we take, whether it's eat or sleep or whatever, we do for the glory of God, and it's an act of worship. And let me just say, if we take that part and we just say, I'm going to live for the glory of God and that's what I do, you will leave a good legacy. That's it. It's that simple. Very simple, hard to execute, right? Because we can say in our heads, yeah, I'm just going to do everything for God. Very, very simple. But how do we do that when we face the culture and we face, you know, people who rub us the wrong way or even my own fleshy desires? These things come in the way. So it's a part where we can start and simply give that yes, and we can begin with it. The second reason, I think, and another reason is, and it just comes from this for the glory of God, is the awesome stories we have in Scripture. These, all these amazing God stories that we have, and I think another way, too, we can say it is, all these amazing God legacies left in Scripture by other men and women of God. And if we go through it, in Psalm 78:4, it says this, "We will not hide them from our children, but we will tell them in the coming generations the glorious deeds of the Lord and his might and his wonders of what he has done." We should not hide these things from our children, but we should be sitting down with our children and teaching them, and not just our children, but other people too, and showing the glorious deeds of what God has done in our lives and in Scripture. Joshua 4, and I love this part of Ebenezer Stones, and he said to the people of Israel, "When your children ask their fathers in times to come, what does these stones mean? And then you should tell your, let your children know, Israel passed over Jordan on dry ground." And I just love that imagery, right? Where you have something and people ask you, what is that about? And then you can say, let me tell you a God story. If you ever come to my office, it's an absolute mess. I have random things from swords to tractors to ostrich eggs in my office, but each one tells a God story, essentially. It is random maybe to a normal person walking in there, and I'm sorry, it's very distracting, but to me, each one has a God story behind it. And when people point out and say, can you tell me about that? I can say, let me tell you a story. And I think we can set up our lives where we have a legacy behind us, things around us, when people ask about, we can tell them about God and what God has done in our lives. But again, too, we can see here that many people in the Bible almost lost their good legacies because they did bad things. And we see people like Aaron and Peter, for example. So Aaron, I mean, think about this for a second here. Aaron went with Moses against Pharaoh, right? Stood in the courtyard of Pharaoh, threw his staff down, saw God do these 10 plagues, miraculously deliver all the Israelites through the Red Sea and stuff, parting of the Red Sea. incredible, mind-blowing. All the people are rescued. And then when Moses goes to the mountain and there's a bit of pressure, I mean, a lot of pressure, what does Aaron do? He goes and makes a golden calf. Like, dude, you have this amazing legacy, and now you're completely walking away from God. But is that the end of Aaron's story? Not at all. Is that the legacy he leaves behind? No. Because after that, he became the leader of the Levites. And God redeemed that through him, and he died a good death. I mean, there's Peter, right? And I love Peter. I love the zeal that Peter has, and sometimes we look at him, and we kind of, you know, we kind of blame him for a lot of things. But I love Peter's zeal. When Jesus comes and washes the disciples' feet, and he says, no, Lord, don't wash my feet, I'll wash yours. And when Jesus explained to him why he's doing it, Peter says what? Wash my whole body, Lord. Take everything and wash it clean. And I love it too, how Peter says, Lord, I will never deny you. And Jesus warns him and says, you will deny me 3 times. Never, Lord. And yet he went and did it. Does that ruin his legacy? Not at all. Because what happened after that? Peter's the one who God built his church on in Acts. Peter's the one who spearheaded that. Peter's the one who gave the gospel and the good news to the Gentiles of Cornelius. And I mean, what an incredible legacy these things are. So we see the good and the bad, and the legacy isn't just necessarily all the good things, but it's also the redemption that God gives us through the bad or difficult things that's happened in our lives. And I think that is something that we can cling on to, and that's something that gives us much hope in this. But again, as I talked about here with Psalm 78 and Joshua 4, really what legacy comes down to, I think, is this last part. It is teaching the next generation. Deuteronomy 6 talks about, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. And these words I commanded you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children. You shall talk with them when you sit in the house, and when you walk on the way, when you lie down, and when you rise. We have a job, parents, to equip our children. We have a job to leave a legacy for our children. It is up to us when we walk by the Spirit and stuff in one day, and really, you know what, there's many good gifts we can give our children. But you know, I think what's one of the best gifts you can give your children? It's on the day when you pass away at your funeral, your children have zero doubt where you are right now, where your place is in eternity. I've had people come to me and say, I don't know where my mom and dad is. I hope they're in heaven. I pray they're in heaven. I pray they prayed that prayer to accept Jesus into their heart, but I actually don't know. Or they think, you know, dad's in heaven because he came to church, but I never saw him read his Bible. I never saw him pray with us as a family unless it was at supper. And you know what? Don't stop doing that. Those are good things to do, to pray at supper. But does your children see the legacy you're leaving behind, where you spend time in Scripture? When times get tough, you go to God and not just somebody else. That prayer is your default, and no matter what you do in your life, it comes and starts with a heart of prayer. It is one of the best gifts you can give your children, is a legacy of living a godly life and living a godly lifestyle. But again, too, it's also our job then to teach our children. Because the church here, too, we will equip your kids and we will teach them, but we can only do it for about an hour a week. If they come to midweek, well, that's about 2 hours a week, right? But we have very little time that we can equip them. But at home, when they are with you, you can tell them the amazing stories of what God has done. You can tell them how God delivered the Israelites out of Egypt. And it's stories we should not just stop telling, but we can tell it on repeat, that they can understand the legacy and we can teach for next generation. So I think for those reasons, there's many more reasons too, I think it's important for us to leave a legacy behind. So now, how do we leave a legacy though? I've kind of given you some pointers already, but how do we move forward and leave a good legacy? And I think the first thing is, and it's kind of one of those duh statements, but it's like, we have to be intentional. Because in the end, you will leave a legacy, whether it's good or bad. You will leave a legacy. Because one day people will talk about you. It is up to you to be intentional if you're going to be contaminating your legacy, or you can contribute to your legacy and leave a good legacy behind. It's up to you, because legacy doesn't all of a sudden just come together when it's your funeral. It's not all of a sudden now you passed away and now you have a legacy that quickly comes up. Legacy is built every day. Every single day, your legacy is built. Every single day, you add to it or you can contaminate it. And it's not something we should be concerned about or be worried about it. But honestly, it's one of those things we should have in the back of our minds. I love this old saying, and I wish more people would practice this. Do you remember, maybe your dads would tell you this, but my dad told me this. If you borrow something from somebody, return it in a better condition, right? So if you borrow a wrench. When you borrow a wrench from somebody, don't give it back dirty, full of oil. Wipe it down and give it back in a better condition. And as I was preparing for this message, that saying came to mind. And then I wonder, I'm going to just change it slightly. How about this? When we interact with people, do you think we can leave people in a better condition than when we found them in? Do you think that's possible? And I know we can't change people's minds. But what if you interact with somebody and now they're in a worse condition because you interacted with them? Is that Christ-like? Is that a good legacy? I think if we can go forward and we show Jesus love and we try and leave him in a better condition than we found him in, imagine the legacy we can leave behind from just that. Every single interaction we do with people, have this mindset. Maybe see a wrench in front of them or something, but leave them in a better condition. So, and it's not always, again, an easy thing to do, and people have to make up their own minds in it. But look at Ephesians 5. Be very careful then how you live. And I love that scripture gives us that caution. Be very careful then how you live. Not as unwise, but as wise. Making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. And I think we can all agree our days are evil. So every opportunity we get, when we're at Superstore, interacting with people here, but anybody that comes across with us, let's leave them in a better condition than we found them in, or at least show them Christ's love in that. The second thing we can do too is be accountable. So after being intentional, we can be accountable to others as well, because being intentional and you don't tell people about it doesn't really help you much. It doesn't allow for fast growth. Like, you will grow, but I kind of think your growth will be a bit stunted. And accountability is extremely misunderstood today, I think. And I only say that because of the people I meet with, I will always ask this question, who is keeping you accountable? And by far the most common answer I get is, well, I told some people to keep me accountable, but you know, they just never ask me how I'm doing. That is not how accountability works. So I've said this in my addiction message, but I'll say it here again. Accountability is to give an account of what's going on. Give an account of what's going on in your life. It's not you waiting for somebody to come to you and see how you're doing, but it's you to seek out the person that's keeping you accountable and give an account of what's going on with you. And we see this in Scripture too, of Romans 4. So then, each of us will give an account of ourselves to God. And I know you might say, oh, but that's us giving an account to God. Yes, but let's look at James 5. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. So, we do not wait for people to come to us and to see how we're doing for accountability. We seek them out and we give an account. We say, pray with them. We confess our sins with them so that we can be healed from all the struggles we have. So we can begin that journey and the things we're struggling with, that God can help us in it. But it will not happen if we just wait and then blame it on the other person. We have to be intentional about seeking accountability. And we lead something here at church called Path to Freedom. And Path to Freedom is a place where we deal with life-controlling behaviors or just stuff you're struggling with. But one of the big successes we've seen with Path to Freedom is the section where we keep each other accountable. And let me tell you, these people, they meet weekly where they ask each other questions, but they also do phone calls during the week. They'll do free phone calls, intentionally seeking out accountability to see how they are doing in their lives and what things they should be accountable for. And again, you don't have to go to that extreme, but if you can go and, you know, once a week, if you have a struggle you deal with, ask somebody to keep you accountable and then seek them out and give an account of what's going on in your life and what God is doing in your life. And yeah, anyway, so I'll stop on that before I run out of time completely here. So, but no, it's hard to see when people you love fall away and fall to sin, right? Like we talked about Aaron and stuff like that too. People we love who love God, and I have no doubt they love God, but they fall away to sin and they kind of stumble. But here, look at Psalm 103. He does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. Can you guys imagine if God was fair? If he would treat us as our sins deserve? For as high as the heavens are above the earth, So great is his love for those who fear him. As the east is from the west, so far he has removed our transgressions from us. As far as the east is from the west. I would love for somebody to tell me how far that is, because I don't know. I just know it's pretty far. As high as the heavens are, like how high is the heavens? God has removed our transgressions. So again, when you've sinned, when you've screwed up, when you go to your accountability partner and you say, I have messed up, it's not the end of your legacy. It simply means it's part of your legacy that God's going to redeem and use for doing many good things. And I think many of us here who's on stage, if we will be judged by our legacy and the bad things we've done, none of us can be up here because we've all messed up hugely in doing this. And again, for me too, I have messed up. And if we look again at scripture too, we talk about like an Aaron or a David and all those. But again, but God comes and removes these transgressions. And again, I think so many people too, like David. David messed up so many times. I mean, look at his legacy. But in the end, he comes with that heart before the Lord and said, Lord, I am sorry. Please forgive me my transgressions. But you know, I was thinking in Psalm 103. I'll be honest, I spend a lot of time in Psalm 103. I could not get past this thing that, you know, if God was a fair God, we would not be here today. But God gave us grace. But I also like that part where it talks about, for as high as the heavens above the earth, which made me think of something else. Point number three here. It's not about my legacy being left on earth. Stephen did this message series, right, where he talks about you will never know who you are until you know whose you are. And I want to expand on that. It's not about your legacy you're leaving on earth. It's about whose legacy are you leaving on earth. And I want to encourage you, if the legacy we're supposed to leave here on earth, it's God's legacy. It's not Martin Gunter's legacy. It's not Southland's legacy or Canada's legacy. It's whose legacy are you leaving behind? And if you live selfishly, yeah, it'll just be your legacy. But whose legacy are you leaving here? And you know what, and I kept thinking about this and kept meditating on it, Romans 14 came to mind. For if we live, we live for the Lord, and if we die, we die for the Lord. So whenever you live or whenever you die, we are the Lord's. So if we truly belong to the Lord, the legacy we should by default leave behind is whose? It's the Lord's. So when somebody comes to my funeral and see the legacy that I've left behind, I want them to see the Lord's legacy that's left behind. But you know, as I'm sitting in this too, it's kind of difficult to leave somebody's legacy behind if you don't truly know them or understand them. And again, how do you comprehend how majestic or indescribable God is, how good he is, or how big he is? And as I'm sitting this trying to figure this out, you know, I came to this one thing. I love looking at nature. And nature is beautiful, right? Nature is gorgeous. There's lots going on in nature. But I love space. I love Star Trek, I love Star Wars and Stargate. Anything with star in it, I love it, okay? I love space stuff, and I just get fascinated with space. So, and what I would think of how big God is, I go to space. And there's some images coming up here right now, taken by the James Webb Telescope, and I just think they are absolutely stunning. Seeing the nebulas, right, and quasars and stuff that God put out there. And I'm so thankful the scientists who made these telescopes, we can get a glimpse of what's even far out there. That people don't even see, and God made these. God put these stars up there for us. But you know what? We look at these and we don't get an idea actually of how big it is. So I just want to give you guys a glimpse, just a short little glimpse of how big God is. So if we look at these pictures, they're awesome, but we don't get a sense of scale. So we live here on planet Earth. We have a solar system with the sun and 9 planets. Some people say 8 planets. I like 9 planets. Why? Because I'm the care pastor. I'm supposed to care. I like to include Pluto so he doesn't feel alone. Okay? So, we have 9 planets. There's my scientific discovery for that. So, in our solar system of 9 planets, we live in a galaxy, which is the Milky Way galaxy. And the Milky Way galaxy looks something like that. And we're kind of, you know, on the outskirts, middle part there. You can see where we're located. And that is where we are. Now, the Milky Way galaxy, see, here's a problem with space. We've observed at most 3% of the sky. That is their best estimate. We've seen about 3% of the sky, which is a lot, actually, to consider how big it is. But they've taken lots of pictures and continue to do this. Now, where we are located and for how big it we are, our galaxy is a mid to small range galaxy, they say, compared to other galaxies. But our galaxy contains between 100 and 400 billion stars. So our solar system has one star, but there's about 100 to 400 billion stars. I know I say a million, billion, trillion, gazillion. Yeah, it's big, so what? We don't know how big that really is, right? So I'm gonna try and give you guys an idea of how big it is. Just don't think about Canadian debt. But it's this way. So if I wanna get to a million, if I wanna count every second on the second without sleep, without stopping, count every second on the second, to get to a million, you know how long that would take me? Roughly about 12 days, which is not that bad, right? It's not that far. If I get there and I get to a million, to get to a billion, same thing. I'll count every second on the second, and I keep going. To get to a billion, you know how long that would take me? It would take approximately 32 years. A million is 12 days, a billion is 32 years. Who in here is under 32 years old? Raise your hand. Congratulations, you're under a billion seconds old. And for the other ones, wow, you're getting really up there, huh? So a trillion, how long do you think it takes to get to a trillion if you count every second on the second? It will take 32,000 years. And that's the difference between a million, billion, and trillion. So when I say there are between 100 and 400 billion stars in our galaxy, that's quite a bit, right? But now I'm gonna show you another picture. So if you can flip it over, I'll show you guys another picture here. Just again, a beautiful picture of a James Webb telescope. The one on the left there, well, that one with all the colors, that's just a picture they took and they thought, oh, that's a nice picture. And I think it was originally taken with Hubble, but then with the James Webb telescope, they zoomed in and they took the picture on the right. And I don't know if you can see it from here, but those are not stars. Most of them are galaxies. So they estimated, they thought what they counted in space, what they saw as stars. Now with our telescopes, we can look a bit deeper. They realize a lot of them are actually other galaxies. And the rough count is between 200 billion and 2 trillion galaxies that exist in our universe. Isn't that incredible? There's so many galaxies, and each galaxy contains roughly between 100 and 400 billion stars. So to give you guys, and this is where it comes to me, it's Psalm 8. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon, the stars, which you have set in place, what is mankind that you're mindful of them? Human beings that you care for them. If God made all that, but God cares for us, it's so vast, it's so big. And Isaiah 40, who else has held the oceans in his hand? Who has measured off heavens with the span of their fingers? That God is so big that the universe he can measure with the span of his fingers. The absolute immensity of our universe, and God holds it in his hand. Is that not somebody's legacy that you want to leave here behind on earth instead of your own? Why would I leave my legacy behind when I can leave his legacy behind? His legacy where he's, and this is just talking about how big he is, and that's just a small inch. I can't even imagine how big that is. It's so infinitely, infinitely big. And there's so many more attributes about God, and I think that's why we're gonna have all of eternity to spend with God, to get to know him, and to see all the other aspects of God. So let's get practical. We can get practical about legacy here. How do we practically apply legacy into our lives? Well, there's a couple of things we can do. You can go to passages like Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 13, Philippians 4, the book of James. There's a lot of practical books of the Bible you can go to, or chapters, where you can learn how a Christian should live. And if we live as good Christians, yes, we will leave a good legacy behind. And I was going to finish this message completely different. And then I shared something with my wife just as I was sitting down, and she said, oh, you should share that. The problem is I've only ever shared it really with her and I think one other person, because I'm so embarrassed by it. Because this is something, I'm a very simple person. I don't like complex. It's why I stopped doing IT work and I'm a pastor, okay? It's way simpler. Simplicity is my wheelhouse. I love simple. And 20 years ago, God laid something in my heart that I've been working on for 20 years, and I've never changed it. It's just been in my heart. So, but I felt God saying I need to share that with you as part of his legacy of how we can get practical with legacy. So you won't need to write this down because it's very simple. But the thing I do in my life to add legacy or to change my life is called ish. No, it's not a word from Afrikaans or Latin or Hebrew. It's my own acronym that I made up. And clearly I made it up because that's as complex as it gets. Ish. So what is ish? Well, every time I go wrong, I go like this in my head. Ish. And that is it. Because it stands for something. And again, I'll share it here with you. Back in 2004, when I came to the church for the first time, that December, they made me a small group leader. And I was petrified to become a small group leader. And as I did it, God convicted me at a month of prayer and fasting in January of 2005. And during the month of prayer and fasting in January 2005, God laid this verse on my heart. He said, "The Lord detests lying lips, but delights in people who are trustworthy." So God spoke to me and said, "You need to work on your integrity. Your integrity sucks." And those are words God spoke to me. I wrote on my journal just like that. And I started working on integrity. Why? Because I like lying. Lying is fun, especially when from a different country. People are like, "Oh, what's it like in Africa?" "Oh, we live in tree houses up in the trees." "Really?" "Mm-hmm." "Why?" "The lions." They get you, you know? So, and people would believe it. And it's like you guys can go overseas and say, "What's your house like?" "Igloos. Got new ice this year. It's beautiful, you know?" And people don't know. So it was fun to exaggerate. And God called me on early on my journey here. I'm like, "But Lord, it's so much fun. I don't want to stop doing that." So I stopped and I started working in integrity. About 3 years later, this is 2008 of January, I was about to get married. I got married February 2008. This is January 2008. I have a first sunrise summit at a church here. And God laid on my heart selflessness. And he just directly took me to that verse from Ephesians 5. "Husband, love your lives as Christ loved the church, laying his life down for her." And I felt God gave me a strong warning before I enter marriage. I cannot be a selfish person going into marriage. So I had this thing in my head about, you know, IS, and I was kind of stuck on it. And again, I'll just say this too. If you go into marriage with selfishness, either your marriage is going to be horrible and it's not going to last very long. But this is something, again, God placed in my heart, and I just kind of sat with it. And then it was maybe 2-3 years later after that, again, at a sunrise summit, it was in the chapel. I remember I was sitting against the brick wall there, the stone wall, I mean. And then the last one God laid in my heart was humility. And God just told me, took me to James 4:6. "God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble." And that three words, integrity, selflessness, humility, became ish in my mind. And it's been now 20 years I've been sitting with this, but every time I would screw up, I would just in the back of my head go, "Ish." And it sounds dumb, and that's why I've not shared in front of anybody, and now I just shared in front of all you guys. But this is how I have walked and tried having a good legacy in my life. That the legacy I would leave would not be of something else, but actually of integrity, selflessness, and humility. But again, for you, it might be something completely different. But for me, that is where God started me off. So I just want to encourage you with this, and this is in closing here. One day at my funeral, when it happens, and it will happen, I don't want people to remember me as the guy who was great at Halo. He was the guy that, you know, he was great at strategy games and at Command and Conquer. Oh, he would kill you in Settlers of Catan. I don't want to be that guy. I don't want to be the guy that they remember saying, "He watched a whole season of Smallville in one weekend." I don't want to be that to be remembered with. And yeah, if you laugh about it, great. But I want to be the guy where people would look back at my legacy and they would remember things like integrity, selflessness, and humility. They'd remember the parts of me where God did something in my life. That people would look back, and again, because all these things we look at games and we look at scrolling on our phones and stuff like that, they are meaningless. Ecclesiastes 1:2 talks about how utterly meaningless all these things here on earth are. But I want people to look back on my life. Did I live for the glory of God? Did I love God? Did I love people? Was I a person when you talked with me, you left a better person? Not because of me, because of Jesus inside of me. And that is the legacy that I desire to leave behind one day. So, how can we get practical with this? Well, you can be intentional, we get accountability and all that stuff. But just very simply for this morning, we're going to do two listening prayer exercises, and we'll be very quick. And if you're new here and you don't know what listening prayer is, don't worry about it. I'll explain it. It's very simple. But the first question I want to ask you this morning is, if we look back at 2024, did this last year reflect the legacy you wanted to leave behind? And I get it. I only preach this message now, so you probably didn't think about it. But if you would take a moment and think about, what legacy did you leave behind for 2024? Was it a God-honoring one, or was it one where you were prideful, one where you were selfish, one where actually, hey kids, how did I do this year? Oh, you're on your phone quite a bit, just scrolling the whole time. What kind of legacy have we left behind this 2024? And I know sometimes it's hard to think about it, but I'm going to give us a moment here, and Lord, just to show us what legacy we left behind. And then quietly as we're sitting there, you can just confess, Lord, I messed up on this. Lord, I was really selfish in this. Can you forgive me? And God will remove our transgressions as far as the east is from the west. So I'll pray for you, give you a little bit of quiet time to pray, and then we'll do one more after that. So Heavenly Father, we thank you for your Holy Spirit. We thank you that we can come, and Lord, we can leave your legacy on earth. So Jesus, looking back at 2024, was there something I did I'm embarrassed about? Is there something that's not pleasing to you? Lord, I ask you to bring these things to mind right now in a word, photo, picture, so I can just confess those to you right now in this moment. So thank you, Lord. Search my heart and reveal to me my inequities so I can confess before you now. Since we are at this point between 24 and 25, is there anything now for this new year God's asking you to do? Maybe he won't show you anything now. Maybe at a prayer summit he will. Maybe in prayer and fasting he'll show you something. But I'm going to pray and say, Lord, is there anything he wants to instill in your heart? Maybe it'll be like me. We just gave you one word. But Jesus, oh Lord, again, I'm just so thankful that you died for our sins. Thank you for forgiving us. And I pray now, Lord, for 2025. What's a word you want to give us? A thought. Lord, what is something I can work on in my life to leave a legacy behind for my children and for those around me? What is something I need to work on? So I ask now, Holy Spirit, please share with us one thing I can work on for 2025.
If today's message has encouraged you, please take a moment to rate us and subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you stream podcasts. For access to previous messages, videos, and live services, visit us online at myselfund.com or download the Selfund Church app. Thank you again for tuning in to this week's message.